Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Fightful Film Club. I am Rob Wilkins, along with Gisberto Guzzo, and our special guest today is none other than Janai Kai. How are you doing today, Janai?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Very good. We are excited to talk Karate Kid with you, and it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is one of my all-time favorite movies, too, so when you chose it, I got legitimately really excited. Let's talk about the Karate Kid. So that was really awesome. So I guess just before we get into the movie, were you a fan of movies when you were a kid, or were you off kind of doing other things like sports, TV, or what's your kind of background with movies?
I watched a lot of movies with my sister when we were younger, but yeah, other than just watching wrestling and like doing my taekwondo, like I just watch movies. And Karate Kid was actually the movie that I watched the most when I was little, because it was just like it was so relatable at the time, because like I was a kid and I was doing taekwondo, but like it was still like that same feeling and the same similar experience and stuff like from the movie. So like movies are like a fun thing to do with my sister. Sometimes we have like family like movie nights too.
Nice. Same. I had kind of a very similar experience just at home watching movies with my mom was always kind of the one that would watch with me. No one else in my family was really interested, so she'd always be taking me to Blockbuster or wherever, and would always rent a few movies, and you know, whether it be Karate Kid and Star Wars were kind of the two go-to ones at my house.
Nice.
Any other ones that you kind of remember watching with your sister that maybe you had on all the time?
We watched The Breakfast Club a lot too. Like we liked a lot of like The Breakfast Club, like 80s or like 90s movies. That's typically what we watch the most. Like we basically memorized that movie as well.
I love that movie as well. Such a good movie. And what I love about Breakfast Club is how it just puts like all the different kids like into one like story. Like, I mean, absolutely love it. So, but we are excited to talk about Karate Kid. Gisberto, go ahead and start us off, man.
So Karate Kid was released in June of 1984, and it actually came out just 2 weeks after Ghostbusters. So the fact that it grossed $130 million against a $8 million budget is pretty crazy, considering it went up against one of the most kind of iconic movies of all time. Critics liked it, 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. I know a lot of people kind of bash against Rotten Tomatoes, but kind of gives you an idea of how the critics were feeling at that time, whether you agree with them or not. Pat Morita got an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor for his role as Mr. Miyagi. And the film was directed by John Avildsen, who also directed Rocky. And he kind of tells a funny story about how Sylvester Stallone used to kind of tease him about the fact that Karate Kid was just a ripoff of Rocky. It was with a kid and a different old man training him. So that's sort of fun. But Janai, you kind of mentioned that this movie was relatable for you with your kind of martial arts background. So what is your martial arts background, just for anyone who might not know?
So I started with Taekwondo, and then I got into Muay Thai and kickboxing a lot later.
Nice. So when you watch like a movie like The Karate Kid, can you kind of pick out what they're doing and sort of say, oh, that looks good, that doesn't look good, or anything like that?
Well, with karate and Taekwondo, there are some differences, and then again, there are some similarities. So with the technique and stuff, like, there was a lot of things, like when they were showing like the scenes like in class and everything, how disciplined and what it was, I can sort of relate to that, because back then, like, they didn't take it easy on anybody. It didn't matter if you were a kid or like how old you were, if you were a girl or a boy, like, they would be very serious with you. And I could kind of relate to like how it was in that class when it came to that. When it came to like the tournaments and stuff, from what I saw, like the point system and everything, I'm trying for like the point system in Taekwondo, just because it's been so long. But I believe, like, for us, it wasn't that we didn't have anything on. We actually had gear on, like protective gear on when we did spar. In the movie, they didn't have much on. So that's like something else that was kind of different.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know, Rob, if you ever kind of looked into this. I always wondered about the final match with Johnny and Daniel, why Johnny's punch to the face was ruled like an illegal hit, and then Daniel's crane kick actually counted. I don't know if you've ever, like, the logic in that always kind of eluded me, like what makes one legal and one not.
That's a very good question, because I remember, well, in Taekwondo, we couldn't hit to the head at all. It was like all chest protector, like hit the targets type thing. Right. That's a very good question. Maybe like it was how legal it was. Like you said, it was a close fist, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Really the logic behind it. I'm sure they have like some sort of story behind all of that.
Yeah. and I know just kind of researching the movie, they said that there was only 3 actual black belts like involved in the movie itself. One of them was the guy who was the referee in the tournament. He was a black belt. Someone behind the scenes, and then the guy who was Mr. Miyagi's stunt double, he was also one of the fighters in the tournament, the guy that was doing all like the spinning kicks on Johnny.
Yeah.
He was a black belt, and he said like him and some of his friends would be like watching from afar and were like, oh, this looks like garbage. And he was talking about the crane kick and how if someone did that to him in a match, he would just like bum rush them.
Yeah, that was kind of unrealistic, to be honest, but it's a movie, you know?
Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's one of the great like kind of climactic moments. You see him kind of getting the stance that he's been practicing and the music's going. You can't help but get kind of swept up in it.
Yeah.
Rob?
Yeah, I was just when you guys were talking about the kick, I decided to try to look it up, and it goes back and forth. Of course, you'd think the internet could get along and stuff, but they go back and forth how it was an illegal kick, and then some people said it was still illegal, and it's like, well, I'm not really getting an answer here. So, because you're right, no strikes to the face, and they said even the referee at the beginning even said no strikes to the face. So,
yeah,
so it's very interesting. But the one thing that I saw that was interesting to me is Ralph Macchio was brought in for the role as Daniel because the work he did with Francis Ford Coppola in The Outsiders, they really liked him. The original character's name was Danny Weber, but because of Ralph being casted, they went with LaRusso. Some of the other things that were very interesting about this was Charlie Sheen and Robert Downey Jr. were considered for Ralph's part So they would have played Danny instead. Those were two of the potential people. And as far as people that were up for playing Allie, Elizabeth Shue, they had people listed as Helen Hunt, Demi Moore, and Sarah Jessica Parker. Wow. Like different people lined up for that.
Okay, let's have the Daniel conversation. Is, because I'm sure we've all kind of seen the online discourse, and even in social, in public shows like How I Met Your Mother, they've kind of poked fun at the fact like that Daniel's actually the bad guy of the Karate Kid. And
yeah,
I think changing his name to LaRusso works well, kind of making him Italian, just having that short temper. I can see that being true. But I don't know, Janai, in your opinion, what did you think of Daniel? Is he a little too obnoxious and self-righteous for you? Or the fact that he's always kind of, while his actions maybe aren't the best, it seems like he has a good heart. Is that enough for you to kind of still root for him as the good guy of the movie?
So yeah, because like it seemed like he wasn't too aware of what was going on. But no. If you guys watch Cobra Kai, it kind of dissects like everything from like Johnny's perspective. And now I kind of understand more too on that end. But still, it's not like he was intentionally like trying to steal a girl. Like it was just like he was at the right place at the right time, I guess, or whatever. So it's just all about that, really. And he's still okay in my eyes.
Yeah, and they have that one line at the beach where when Cobra Kai shows up and they see that Daniel's talking to Allie, and they go, "Oh, what do you care, Johnny? I thought you guys were broken up." And they said, "Like, oh, she broke up with him, but he's not broke up with her." And it's like, oh, this guy. You know, I worked as a high school teacher for a long time, and I can kind of attest to how horrible kids are at relationships and sort of parsing their own feelings and kind of showing their true emotions. So it makes sense in that way. But I always thought Daniel was a little obnoxious, a little kind of hot-headed, like he flies off the handle way too quickly. But I mean,
that's essentially teenager.
Like a teenage karate, you know, biker gang that are also sort of like supposed to be like this like Hitler youth sort of thing. And I mean, they try and kill him on a bunch of occasions. So, I mean, I can kind of let a lot of the stuff Daniel does slide, you know, given that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the way you put it there is like, the way I look at it is Cobra Kai, those guys were just brutal. So that's why I always looked at Daniel as being the good guy, because he was good compared to those turds.
Yeah.
I mean, that they did really good casting those guys, because you wanted to see them go down. And I think Martin Cove played his part really well as well, because you just did not like him at all. I don't buy into the part that he was the bully or the bad guy. I think he was the good guy, and that's just how I will always feel about that movie.
Yeah, I mean, and whenever you're watching this movie, sometimes you get kind of lost in the story. You have to remember, these are teenagers. These are like 16 and 17-year-olds, and they're like beating kids up after Halloween parties. And what's his line? "I'll tell you when he's had enough." That's such a wild thing for a 17-year-old to say. Like, if you actually think about it, that's mental.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, it's crazy. Cause yeah, even back then, like with the teenage movies, like that's kind of how it was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like to be thinking about it now. It's like, yeah, that's crazy. But you know, like high schoolers, they were kind of that brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I remember going into high school, like when I was going from the eighth grade to the ninth grade, I was absolutely terrified. And the reason why is because all the movies I've watched.
Yeah.
I mean, I was literally terrified going into high school, and it was not nearly as bad as I thought it'd be. And because I learned I was bigger than a lot of people. So it worked. Yeah. But
I just wanted to, one last thing. Robert Downey Jr. being cast as Daniel. I wonder if that wouldn't have made this like a, I don't want to say a better movie. I think it would have been a very different movie. I think like a young Robert Downey Jr. was so like kind of charming and charismatic and handsome.
Yeah.
I think I might have believed that Allie was interested in him more so than I believe that she was interested in Daniel. but then I also think like, is Robert Downey Jr. kind of too charming and too nice? Like, then you wouldn't have that like people wondering, oh, is he actually like kind of the villain of the story? So I don't know. I feel like that would have changed this movie like a lot, maybe for the better. I'm not too sure. I don't have a question about that. That's just me kind
of maybe because train of thought. Wise, like how he looks to kind of like it wouldn't. I see why they didn't really go with him because of that. Because he could have easily just looked like the rich guy or something rather than Johnny.
That's a fair point. Did you have any thoughts on the Daniel Allie relationship, like what she maybe sees in him? Because I wrote down there's a few times during this movie where he kind of pushes her away, like at the beach. He says, oh, don't help me. That's whatever. You just got beat up. That's fine. Then at school, he kind of avoids her for a while. Then at the, what do you call it? The country club. When he gets the spaghetti spilt on him.
Yeah.
He runs away and then he tracks her down at the arcade later saying, oh, I saw you kissing him. Like he's very kind of, I don't know. He does all these things where you wonder, oh, why does she keep giving him chances?
Oh, well, I think it's because maybe she doesn't want to be so surrounded by like what she's used to, like her lifestyle and everything. So when she saw Daniel, he has a totally different lifestyle, like where he lives even. And she was like, maybe I should actually give it a chance and like completely go somewhere else, like and be surrounded by somebody else with a different lifestyle. Cause maybe it is better to be on that side of things. And then with like Daniel, I can see like why he's like so stubborn and everything, because he doesn't get everything that he wants. And then he sees like Allie, like with that, you know, kind of cool lifestyle, lavish type rich lifestyle and everything, getting whatever she wants. So he already has this mindset that she's probably like spoiled or something, like really like judging from that end as well. And yeah, so it wasn't really hard for him to kind of push away either, because he rather just do things himself and like work on things himself and all of that and really focus on himself rather than focusing on a girl all the time, rather than she just wanted to really get away from everything. So that's how I kind of think of the perspectives.
And I think like the thing too with Allie is I think with Johnny, like she knew Johnny did not like Daniel. And I think that might have played a part in it too. Just kind of like the teenage part. Like, well, here you go. I think that played a big part in it too. Like, I mean,
yeah,
subconsciously, the way I look at it, but maybe I'm wrong there.
And I mean, Daniel just moved. Like, I kind of get his, like you said, wanting to focus on himself too, just because, I think we forget he moved across the country. You know, he's just him and his mom. His mom's incredible. She's one of my favorite parts about this movie. She's so sweet. Yeah. I love her so much. And I mean, he has no friends. Like his only friend is this like elderly maintenance man who secretly knows karate. he almost makes a friend on the first day, that Freddy Fernandez. But after he gets beat up on the beach, him and Freddy just completely bail on Daniel. They're like, oh, nice friends you find here. And then after he wins the tournament at the end, they try and get back in with him. They try and jump back on the bandwagon. That Freddy Fernandez is a real piece of work.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know, Rob, do you want to, I guess we should move on to, I mean, the star of the movie, right? Do you want to lead the charge on Mr. Miyagi?
The one thing that I wanted to bring up, well, before we do that, I just wanted to say that the biggest thing that I liked about the soundtrack is Joe Esposito, You're the Best song, was for Rocky III, but they decided to go with Survivor's Eye of the Tiger. So,
And they were thinking of using it for Flashdance as well. Yeah. And they ended up using, I think it was Maniac, right?
Yeah. Flashdance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That whole soundtrack is great. Mm-hmm. Like you had Bananarama with Cruel Summer. You had Young Hearts. Even that song when they're, I don't know the title of it, when they're chasing him after the karate party and just danger.
Yeah.
Danger. Like, I don't know. Are you, what kind of music do you, ever, like, if you're driving around, do you ever listening to Karate Kid style 80s kind of music, or what's your go-to?
I kind of like, yeah, I kind of like to like put on like an 80s playlist, like reminds me of movies, like going back to like the Breakfast Club and stuff. Even that soundtrack is great. Oh. But yeah, like sometimes I would bless Eye of the Tiger here and there, or, you know, You're the Best, like, you know, like when I want to be in that like little nostalgia type moment, whatever. Yeah, I like it. I like that style a lot. It's so different.
Yeah, nice.
So the like, Pat Morita played Mr. Miyagi, as we know. They brought in a couple of different people to possibly play him, as far as auditions. They mm-hmm. brought in Toshiro. I'm going to probably get this last name wrong, Mifune, but he was in Seven Samurai and the Hidden Fortress. So he was a really popular actor in Japan, but he didn't speak a word of English, so that didn't really work mm-hmm. for him. The Pat Morita had a very difficult childhood. When he was 2 years old, he broke his back. He got spinal
tuberculosis.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't read that word for a second. And he spent 9 years of his life in an infirmary. So he and was raised by doctors and nurses. So he had a awful childhood.
Yeah.
As far as you brought up that he was nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor, that was something I did not know. That was very interesting. Do you know who, like, some of the nominations were?
I don't think I wrote that down, who the nominations were. I think it was just like really surprising for a lot of people. Like, we can look back on it 40 years later, and him getting an Oscar nomination makes sense. But I think in 1984, a lot of people knew Pat Morita as Arnold from Happy Days, and he was also sort of known as this kind of raunchy sort of stand-up comic who would make really kind of inappropriate jokes. But then they didn't want to cast him for this role, but as soon as he auditioned, he kind of found the voice of the character. They knew he was right for it. And him getting an Oscar nomination, it's really surprising. I heard on another podcast, someone compared it to, like, imagine if Ken Jeong was nominated for an Oscar after doing all these sort of roles where he's doing all these Asian stereotypes. That's what Pat Morita was doing on Happy Days. So for him to get this nomination was great. And I mean, if we're going to go into like Mr. Miyagi, I think just like all the lessons he kind of teaches Daniel, all the great quotes of his, I mean, he's one of the most iconic movie characters of all time. I don't know, Janai, would.
Yeah.
Was Mr. Miyagi your favorite as a kid growing up? Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I was devastated when I found out he passed, but
yeah.
Yeah, he was like one of my favorites for sure.
Did you ever try? I mean, I'm sure every kid did. You know, waxing cars, like anytime you ever kind of had to do like a household chore.
Yeah.
You sort of turn it into a Karate Kid type thing where you're like,
yeah, okay. I'm guilty of that.
Yeah. Mom wants me to paint the fence. Okay. Up, down, like really tight.
Yeah.
Even if I'm just wiping the counter, like, you know, it's like, let me see something real quick.
Yeah.
How many kids got into fights at school and were trying to practice like the wax on, wax off, you know, sand the floor? No.
I clearly remember like the crane kick being tried. In taekwondo class, there were some kids trying that, and it was just because like we were kids and we were just like trying to have fun while we spar. We weren't trying to take it that serious, but there were some kids that were just like that, like while we're sparring. Mm-hmm. So we took a little bits and pieces of that movie and applied it to our actual lives.
Rob, question for you. This is a nitpick of mine. Mr. Miyagi, got a really nice house. It's got a lot of bonsai trees. It's got about what, 8 cars just sitting in the in the driveway of his house. Just wondering where the money's coming from.
I always just assumed it was like his background in karate. That's what I just assumed, and like maybe he just decided to do something else. I don't know. That was the thing. That's a good point. I never really thought of it that way either.
It's a great birthday gift he gives to Daniel, that yellow car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the convertible. Absolutely gorgeous. Actually, Janai, this was one of my questions for you, and I'll jump ahead to it. Because Daniel kept he picked the car for his birthday gift. But if you're on the set of The Karate Kid while it's filming, it's the last day, and they say you can take absolutely anything you want from the movie, whether it's a car, whether it's a gi, Mr. Miyagi's warm, like anything you want from the set of The Karate Kid. Is there anything you're keeping for your own collection?
I would want to take the headband because I clearly remember when I seen that, when I first seen that, I was like, I want a headband just like that. And actually, my first ever tournament, I think it was 6. I wore a headband, but it wasn't the same exact one. But I wore it because it reminded me of Karate Kid, because I wanted that headband so bad. And I would wear it to class, too. Like, I was the only one wearing one in class. I don't know if that was weird, but, like, they didn't tell me to take it off, so I kept it on.
I had the headband. I remember I was with my mom and we got it at a grocery store of all places.
Really?
But I remember it like it was yesterday.
So were they selling it like specifically as part of the Karate Kid marketing?
Yeah. Yep. They had it they had it just, I remember it just getting one because it was just, and I remember wearing it, watching the movie. Like, I mean, that's how big this movie played a part in my childhood too. So, but I absolutely love this movie. And I remember like that headband, and I was thinking like when we were talking about that, I was like, man, I have no idea. Obviously that headband's long gone, but it's like, I wish I would have kept it, like, you know, type thing.
Yeah. So kind of just staying with like the martial arts theme. So in the movie, they really emphasize how, at least with Mr. Miyagi, the way he teaches it is that it's kind of based on love, which is like in real stark contrast with what Cobra Kai is teaching their students. You in your training, were your teachers, did you ever kind of come across that philosophy, or was it more just, we're learning how to do this and we're not putting much more kind of background behind the purpose of it, or how, like, because I haven't been in a class before. So I'm curious, like, what are they teaching?
Yeah. My classes were more structured, whereas like, all right, you're going to learn how to do this technique, whatever. You didn't really get into like that type of like Miyagi style, unless you had like privates and you had a specific instructor that was like your go-to like private instructor, which I did have. I did have a private instructor who would specifically train me for tournaments, not just for like the classes and the tests. So I was like one of the only ones really doing tournaments consistently. So that's when they kind of assigned me a private instructor. So he was kind of like my Miyagi in a way. And I definitely clearly remember there was times where I was having a hard day, like it wasn't my day of training, and like he would like sit me down, and I was like 6-7 years old, so he was talking to me like I was well grown, but like I clearly remembered all of that, and I'm very thankful for that too, because it also taught me to be more disciplined, to kind of learn quicker in a way as well.
So I did find it. This is what it looked like back in the day.
Oh.
Like in the packaging.
That's wow. So cool.
Yeah.
It was, I was like, I remember ripping it open and everything. Like, it was just certain things, like when it came to movies that I always remembered. And that was, I just remember that moment vividly. So.
Nice. Yes. So that's really interesting, the way, what you said, like kind of with the private teacher. And I guess that sort of plays into like a lot of what Mr. Miyagi was teaching about, like, respect. So he kind of talked to you as an equal, even though you were younger than him. So it sort of kind of plays on that principle that they sort of hit on a lot in the movie. Other sort of things with Miyagi, Rob, the scene where he's drunk and offers Daniel the whiskey. I think that for me, at least, I think that's the scene that kind of got him the Academy Award nomination. You kind of learn that his wife and daughter passed away during childbirth. They highlight the regiment that he fought in the war, which I researched was a real one. Cause at the time in the 40s, a lot of the Japanese people in Canada and the United States were placed into internment camps. So it was a point of pride for them to fight for this country against Japan at points. So, and the Nazis. But yeah, I find it funny that they wanted to actually cut that scene, which makes no sense. I feel like it gives the movie like a whole lot of heart, and it sort of explains their relationship a bit more of why Mr. Miyagi would take Daniel in and treat him like a son.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Any other scenes that kind of stood out to you guys as favorite ones? I have like a whole bunch list.
I think just as far as like favorite scenes, I always just like go back to just Marita and or Miyagi and Daniel. Like I just enjoyed those scenes, and then like at the beginning, like with Daniel and Allie, kind of where Daniel was kind of, I don't want to say, maybe he was shy, I guess. I don't know, but he, just the beginning of their talking, right. Like I enjoy that part too. But
you know what part I really like? Sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
I just thought of it. When he catches the fly with the chopsticks.
Yes.
Yeah. And Miyagi's just like done. He's just like, yeah. All right. He's like, I did it. He's like, okay.
Was it beginner's luck? That's so great. And it's actually funny. You can kind of, I don't know if you watch closely, you can actually kind of see a little like piece of wire hanging in the screen. And they couldn't get him to like actually catch a fly. So I think it's just like a piece of like black lint hanging off a string.
Something. Sorry, girl. Sorry. You can go back to
your thing. No, that was it. I was just finishing.
Like laughing because of the thought of it.
Yeah. That's such a great scene.
Yeah, that was good.
I have a whole bunch listed down. I think the lunch with his mom when they're at the diner and she's like, "Oh, do you have your eye on any girls?" And he's like, "Yeah, maybe one." And she's like, "Well, is she as pretty as Judy?" And then he goes, "She buries Judy." I always thought that was such a great line.
Yeah.
And then I think later in that scene, that's when Cobra Kai like pushes him down the hill, which I mean, let's call it, it's attempted murder. Like they had no reason to attack him at that point. But him and his mom have like the great scene where he throws his bike away and he's like, "I hate it here. I just want to go home." I was like, wow, this is like actually like a great dramatic sequence for this movie. And it's from there then he meets Mr. Miyagi. He teaches him how to trim the trees. I love that. He starts teaching him all about balance and focus. Mm-hmm. That's great. I got Mr. Miyagi beating up Cobra Kai after the dance when he sort of jumps the fence. And I don't know, he does this like chop to Daniel, to a Johnny's stomach. Would that really have kind of incapacitated him the way it did? I don't know.
I don't know about a whole chop. I was thinking more of like a tiger claw type thing. Maybe that would be more believable, but I don't know.
Rob, you mentioned
have to suspend the belief, you know, play for it. And I mean, the way I look at it too is it's a teenage kid and you have an adult just maybe
the strength or something. Maybe that played a part into it. I don't know. But yeah, that was the, I enjoyed that scene. That was another scene of like how Marina just came in and took care of business. That was good.
I really like how, like, even like after that, like that's when, you know, like, Daniel was kind of considering to actually start training more, and just seeing like his growth through the training and everything, like when he was actually like hitting like the targets and everything, and then when he landed the crane kick thing on the rock, and like, he was like so excited, like that was an amazing moment.
That's one of my favorite scenes, like before the tournament, when they do this sort of like montage of, it's like he's on the beach and at the lake and it's sunset and he's on the boat, he's practicing his balance, he's on the log, and he's doing the crane kicks. And then in the background, you have like, I don't know if it's like a pan flute, there's some sort of music when it kind of keeps pushing and it keeps going. It's so great. I love that scene so much. Next scenes I have is, Daniel and Miyagi going to Cobra Kai and them confronting Kreese. Rob, you said it. Kreese is such a great villain. And he goes, he's got the great line. All right, nobody touches the prima donna until the tournament. Always that. All of the Daniel doing housework stuff. I mean, it's like 10 minutes. I don't know if we needed to see him, you know, sand the floor and paint the fence that much, but it works.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole tournament, that's like it's an unassailable 20 minutes to end the movie. It's just, it's so fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And the quotes, I guess you got strike first, strike hard, no mercy. I'll decide when he's had enough. Mr. Miyagi joking about his belt. He's, what kind of belt you got? He goes, canvas, JCPenney, $398.
You got sweep the leg, of course.
Get him a body bag.
Sweep the leg. I mean, going back to that, that's infamous still. People, like, you say sweep the leg, people know what it is. And I mean, that's pretty cool, I think. I mean,
I almost like get him a body bag more. That's such a great line. And he did it like after the fact, they dubbed it in.
I hear a lot of fans yell that during my matches too.
Get him a body bag, really?
You get him in a body bag or sweep the leg.
That's awesome. Really? That's got to make you like smile inside at least.
Like, you know, I'm trying to be serious. It's like, all right. Yeah, or I look out for a quick second. Like, who said that?
There you go. That's awesome.
Also, low-key great insult is when they walk into the dressing room and Dutch goes, what's the matter, Danielle? Mommy not here to dress you? Just, I don't know why. I love that so much. First of all, just he does it in like this ridiculous voice. He brings in the mother and insults Daniel's clothing, which are horrible throughout the entire movie. He's wearing these like mom jeans. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. His outfits are like all the, and then the camo pants, they're always riding so high. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a fashion podcast, but that's villainous behavior wearing those jeans.
Yeah. I don't know what, like, again, with like the lifestyle they were trying to portray, like with Daniel, I guess they wanted to make him look, you know, funny, but.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a scene that, you have it like right here, the first date, like the golf, like where they went mini golfing. That's like classic stuff, you know, that was very good.
They need to open that place back up. I need a golf and stuff somewhere. That feels like, I still think it's like the perfect date spot.
There's one spot nearby my house that looks similar to that, and I always think of Karate Kid when I see it.
Nice.
I have nothing near me. There used to be an arcade kind of like that, but it shut down like in 2000. So I don't think 9-year-old me was going on like any dates.
It's good to have like nostalgia feeling places like that, you know?
Oh, sorry.
the one thing about like Zabka, he you brought it up that he played a villain in like a lot of stuff that he did in the 80s. He was the bad guy kind of in, or he was the bad guy in Just One of the Guys and in Back to School.
Yeah.
Like he played the
great.
Let's be honest. He played a prick really well. Like, I mean,
yeah,
that's who he was. He did really well with that.
Yeah. And I feel like we're going to probably talk about Cobra Kai once we wrap up this Karate Kid conversation, because I need to get Janai's thoughts on it. Because I'm obsessed with that show. It's like, it's my favorite like teenage soap opera, maybe ever. I love it so much. But yeah, Johnny's great. And even when you watch him do like the karate, he looks super athletic. Like of all the actors in this movie, I think he pulls it off honestly better than anyone.
Oh, he's in fantastic shape in the movie. And it's, I mean, condition wise, I would think he was definitely the best
that we saw. Question for both of you though. At the end of the movie, when he hands Daniel the trophy and he's like, "You deserve it, LaRusso, you're all right." Do we buy really how quickly he turned and was okay with Daniel in that moment? Because they're in like a blood feud for the majority of the movie.
It's one of those things where I think it's just, again, you suspend like your disbelief, I think is what it comes down to. And maybe he didn't like the, well, I mean, we saw it too, like when he was told to sweep the leg, you know.
He was starting to feel
like
bad.
He didn't agree with the choice, you know. So I think that's probably where it comes into play. Like he goes, "Hey, you know, I didn't want to do this in the first place, and then now I get to do the right thing and hand him the trophy. He deserves it." Maybe that's how he felt. But I when I watched it again recently, I just, it's one of those things where I just suspend belief and just enjoy the film, because I think that's what it came down to when you look at it. I think he just said, you know, he did not want to sweep the leg. So after he loses, he's just, you know what, here, you deserve it. And then he goes on his separate ways.
Mm-hmm. Anything from the movie that you didn't like, Janai, or is it thumbs up all around?
I can't think of anything I don't like. I think everything kind of made sense, and that's why I liked it so much and watched it like a million times, because it was just great to like in each scene, and like it all made sense to me.
Are you still watching it semi often?
Yeah, and like sometimes I see it on TV and like I'm like, okay, perfect. Like if I'm traveling and I'm staying at a hotel, I see it on TV, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch, this is great.
Yeah,
it always gets me in a good mood, like a nice settled like content mood.
did you watch any of the sequel movies, like 2, 3, 4, or then the Will Smith's kid, Karate Kid?
I didn't see the Will Smith one. I saw
with his son.
The one with his son. I didn't see that one, but I did see
Stay Away.
I saw the same. I heard different things about it. That's why I'm kind of
really
that's why I'm still kind of like, I don't know about watching it. But I did watch the second one and the third one, but not as much as the first one for sure. Well, the one with Julie, which one was that? That was
The fourth one. The next one? Karate Kid.
Yeah, I watched that one probably. That's like second place for like as far as how much I watched the most. Yeah, because I really love that one too.
Yeah, same here. I enjoyed that movie a lot. Hilary Swank.
Yeah, she did really good in that one.
Three is the worst. Can we all agree when he like joins up with he shows up in Cobra Kai too. The guy who ends up the rich guy who takes over the dojo. Three's
Silver? Is it Silver?
Yeah, Silver. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Three is when Daniel trains with him and oh my god, that movie it's actually kind of hilarious, like unintentionally.
So random to me, like when I watched it, I was like, "Huh, is this Karate Kid or is this another movie?"
I know. But I guess that kind of finishes up with, I don't know, Rob, unless you had something you wanted to add. No. I was going to transition. Yeah, I was going to ask you about Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a fan, I take it?
Yeah. I don't know if I can remember the last season, because I watched like every season once. So I kind of have to go back and remember what happened. But I do, again, like going back to like seeing more of Johnny's side and everything, I love that part and like the nostalgia, like flashbacks and everything that they mm-hmm. have. Like, I love that too, and how they're bringing back some of the actual people that were in the original movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob, have you watched Cobra Kai?
I've watched a few episodes. I haven't watched the past, what season are they on? Are they on three?
I think they finished three or four. Yeah,
so I think I've only watched the first season and maybe like an episode or two of the second season. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm behind with that one. Yeah, but I do want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the last thing I saw was Johnny and LaRusso. They start training their kids together in the backyard of Mr. Miyagi's old house. And so now I think they're getting ready to take on Kreese and Silver.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, spoiler for anyone who hasn't watched.
That's what it is. Yes.
Yeah. It's been out for long enough now.
Yeah.
I love seeing kind of Johnny and LaRusso slowly kind of work their way together and realize, oh yeah, you know what? We're not actually that different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even in the movie and now in the show, any sort of conflict that they have, and they mention it too, could easily be solved if they would just talk to each other for 1 minute. Because it's always just a huge misunderstanding that could be fixed so quickly.
And then the kids involved too with their drama.
Oh, it's like great.
Mixed with so many things up.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it for Rob, but when Miguel has his...
No.
There's a scene where Miguel gets hurt at school when the whole school breaks out into this like crazy karate fight, and Miguel gets injured, and I was watching it, and there's this sound effect that happens when he gets injured. It's so crazy. I laughed. I shouldn't have laughed. I laughed so hard.
That was kind of sad, but
it was sad. And then the next season with Johnny nursing him to health is so great.
Yeah.
It's some of the funniest stuff you'll see.
Yeah. It's a very like kind of, there's a lot of like there's definitely more comedy, but also soft parts to it. It's not so serious all the time. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I like about it too.
And the kids get really good at karate really quickly. All of them.
Yeah.
You know, something like, going back before I forget, like something you mentioned about Silver, his name's Thomas Ian Griffith. He actually, he retired from acting in 2007, but he started like writing. He did screenwriting. He did 15 episodes of Grimm. He did, he wrote a Dolly Parton movie, Heartstrings. And what's funny is I was looking at like his past. He actually did a music video for Dolly Parton too. So he must have like a background with Dolly. That was just interesting. And he's done an episode of the Netflix show Virgin River, which I was like, wow, okay. Did not expect that. So I just found that pretty interesting. But he wrote a lot of movies like in the early 90s, like some of the action movies he's done. So he's done screenwriting.
Still in the game, but like behind the scenes. That's cool.
Do you have a favorite kid from Cobra Kai? I don't know. I wasn't put onto this. And then one of my students once told me, it's like, whose team are you on? And I didn't understand. So then I had to go back and watch. And I think I've landed on Miguel. But I also like, I don't remember his, Hawk.
Yeah. I was going to say Hawk is like one of my favorites.
He's pretty cool. I love when he gets the tattoo of Moon.
Yeah, he totally finds himself in the show. Like, it's pretty cool.
Doesn't he? He gets a huge back tattoo, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Hawk is great, actually.
Yeah, he's really great. I'm trying to think of like more like the main like four people are really cool too. Like
yeah,
I forgot her name.
Sam. But
Sam. Yeah. So
that's Daniel's daughter, and then I don't remember the other girl. The one that Chris tries to help out.
Tori. Yeah, Tori. Yeah, she's cool too, because she's already coming in as like this badass girl, like, and that her attitude and everything. So that's what I kind of liked about her. But then again, it gets so messy and everything with all four of them. I can't even.
So as we kind of sort of wrap up here, Rob, we usually like to ask what our guests have been watching recently on either in movies or TV, anything that you would recommend to the viewers, anything that you would tell them to stay away from, either or. Even if it's old stuff, it doesn't have to be anything new.
I don't know about staying away from. I've been playing around with like different streaming services like Netflix and Peacock and everything. I've been heavily into like a lot of crime documentaries and stuff like that. I don't really know which one to really recommend. I would say watch any that you run into, because they're all like they all have been pretty good. There's some that are coming out. There's like one show on Peacock that's coming out soon, like in a few days. I forgot what it's called, but Peacock has some good stuff. I can't think of like, I've been watching a lot more like scary movies on Netflix when I can.
Did you get to watch the American Nightmare one documentary? It's about the, it was basically how the home invasion and kidnapping and this couple was accused of staging like the whole ordeal, and it was just like,
oh,
they said the police just kept messing up and stuff like that. I've seen
a TikTok about it, but I haven't seen it. I want to see that though.
Rob, have you watched anything?
I just finished what did I watch? Oh, that's good. I forgot what it was. Oh, I finished watching the last season of Sheldon. So that's what I just finished watching. So it's a guilty pleasure that the Big Bang Theory shows and stuff. I just enjoy them. So that's just me. But I just finished that. I don't know what I'm going to move on to next, but I'll find something.
And I, like Rob, I watched the new John Cena movie, Ricky Stenicki, which Rob, you can go ahead and do a little plug for.
Yeah. I did watch Ricky Stenicki. That movie is ridiculous, but it's fun ridiculous to me. I enjoyed it. So we will be doing a Fightful Select review of that soon, so you guys can tune in for that. Janai, do you have anything going on or anything you want to, any fights coming up that you want to talk about before we let you go?
Well, I'm still doing things with MLW, Major League Wrestling, and we have our Tampa show coming up. Don't know what my match is yet, but it should be announced soon. And then, of course, Mania. I now have 6 bookings for Mania. So
awesome.
I'm pretty stoked.
That's cool. That's very cool. That's awesome. So you'll be busy during that. Yeah. So I assume you have some two-a-days or 3-a-days maybe lined up then, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, tell everybody where they can find you at.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. You can find me at Janai_Kai and on Twitter, Janai_Kai, and on Twitch, twitch.tv/JanaiKai. And then I have Patreon, which I do vlogs and stuff like that. So you can see like YouTube style vlogs on there. It's patreon.com/JanaiKai.
Awesome.
Nice. And yeah, we'll be sure to link those all in the description of this video. So if you're interested in, kind of following Janai or checking out her Patreon, you'll be able to do that easily.
All right. And Gisberto, where can people find you?
You can find me right here on Fightful Movie Club. I have Twitter, X, whatever. Don't really use it. I have it. You can add me if you want, but
okay.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter or X. I'm on Instagram at Fightful Rob. I'm also on Threads at Fightful Rob. Want to say thank you for tuning in to our Karate Kid Film Club review, and we hope you enjoy it, and we will see you again very soon. Thank you. Take care, guys.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.